CliffCentral.com. All right, we are live Friday morning, CliffCentral.com. Lots of things to talk about now. People are all comparing their injuries.
Everyone's got one.
This is what happens. Someone hurts themselves, and instead of, like we were talking about, a compliment earlier, mm-hmm. people are just going, thank you, or, oh, I'm sorry you hurt your leg. No, they have to go.
Me too.
Let me tell you my horrible story, but some of these are pretty damn good. Justice Lissilo says, I banged my right thumb when I was closing the car door. And the whole week it was like saying, shop. That must be one of the most sore things. Oh my God. In the car door. Mm-mm.
Yeah. But you know, like life's full of, you need perspective, right? So this week I interviewed a para bobslayer.
Oh wow.
So this guy's got no legs, hasn't had legs since the age of 12.
You can handle your stitches.
Here's me limping in with my little bitchy stitches. No, this guy's story was quite something.
Oh my God. No, no, it's horrible. Okay. I'm the king of freak accidents, says Boiled Prawn Shack. Worst one was in my 20s when I tried getting out of bed quietly after a hookup. I broke 3 bones in my foot and had to get surgery. Okay. That must have been
there needs
so
to be a layer of the sentence. Like, did you fall on a weight? Did you fall off like a mezzanine floor? Like,
was her bed 3 meters high?
Like, what?
Did she get angry and club you with like a baseball?
And imagine like you trying to leave and like, whoop, now like, you've broken your foot.
And how embarrassing, because she knows you were trying to leave. What's her reaction to that going to be?
Oh, you son of a bitch. Well, you could just lay there in pain.
It's like people being on the Titanic and going, oh, I was trying to go to America. I just didn't quite get there.
Jesus. Unbelievable. All right. So apparently there was an airline passenger who said he was served a single banana as his entire vegan meal in business class on a plane.
Yes.
Now, we love this. But we love this because we're not very sympathetic to vegans. But what are you supposed to do with a vegan in the sky? I mean, they're not going to prepare very complicated meals, and neither should they.
You get those pre-made things. There's probably vegan air. There's probably a company of
vegan air.
There's probably a company with some overindulged housewife that she's knocking out vegan foods for air travel.
You think so? Tell us the story quickly.
So I don't feel sorry for this particular passenger because I'm just like, number one, you are vegan.
Right.
But number two, compared to everybody else, I was just like, I'm not sure if this business class is really business classing. You know what I mean? Because they got.
Yeah. I mean, if you pay for a business class ticket, even if you're a vegan, you expect certain, certain luxuries.
And what other passengers got were, prawns and tuna.
Oh, wow. Okay. So they upped the ante on the other people and then gave this poor motherfucker a banana.
And they just.
Wasn't even peeled.
No, it wasn't. But they cut. They did give him a fork. Knife. So he could deliver it. And that was the only thing they served this particular passenger the entire flight. They didn't even have like other things to be like, here's snacks, here's strawberries, here's this. No, it was one single banana for the entire flight. So more of the story, don't be a vegan, guys, and don't go on airplanes.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, what do you expect from the airline? But at the same time, I do kind of feel that if, you know, business class ticket these days is expensive, especially if you're doing an international flight, it can be hundreds of thousands of rands. And if I got a banana for that, I'd be
for the entire flight. One banana.
I think it would almost be funny if you do dress it up. You cut it up, you drizzle honey over it. You like dust an almond on top. And then you give one of those pretentious little cake forks.
Yeah. And then say, enjoy your meal, sir. I mean, what do you say? Imagine if they just slapped it down, unpeeled banana. Just there. That's what you want. There we go.
Thanks, Jane. That looks like a lovely cup of coffee.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Jane. Okay. So still people going on about their terrible, terrible injuries. Jason Stiles says, I lost a nipple ring while surfing. I didn't realize I was bleeding in the water until someone said, you're bleeding. Imagine I have a nipple ring ripped out. That is always the number one reason why I would never get any piercings as a kid or as a teenager.
Can we just go through the pros of nipple rings?
No, there aren't very many.
I mean...
Oh, wait, it seems like you are a pro.
No, not at all. It's just that we've had 2 nipple injuries in the show so far.
Hmm.
And it's a very sensitive area.
It's a sensitive part of the body. I mean, especially if you're a girl, but like guys also have sensitive nipples, right?
Yeah,
but,
and it's like one of the piercings that take the longest to heal.
I get that. I get that. Hey, George. I get that. But what is the pro? Is it like one of those erogenous zones? Is it, do some people just have like extra?
I think that's part of it.
Because, yeah, the sensitivity, but there's other things that you can do.
Okay, just, yeah. George, don't come in here and ruin our show.
What are you doing, George? It's a whole new level, the show now.
Just,
his face is just like, I don't know what I just did.
Just embarrassing shit. George, come on. You're meant to be the professional. Every morning when we come to you on a Friday, you've got your studio set up. It's all good sound on your microphone. This morning, it's like it's chaos here.
In fairness, I think Ryan does it on purpose because then he's like, okay, fine.
Now you need me. I need to be in the studio.
Ryan, stop making yourself important. Get out. We've had to tell you this twice already.
Gareth, you said those cameras are going to be automated. Ryan's working hard on
that. I know.
The machines are coming for me. I'm going to make George look like a doer for 2 minutes and then you'll never fire me. How's it, George?
Hey, morning. How's it been? Nice.
All right. So we were talking about injuries. George, you ever had a horrible injury?
I had one this week.
Or is it embarrassing or horrible or both?
Excuse the moon's in someone's Venus or something.
No. The moon is in your anus. That's a pretty horrible injury.
Moon is in your anus. I didn't have an injury, but I did something stupid. I was at the E-Fest last week.
You don't
week.
Look like someone who does stupid things a lot.
Well, you went to the E-Fest. This is uncharted territory for many people.
Exactly.
Who knows what goes on there?
Oh, yeah. No. All right. So what happened?
I took protein shakes with me in powder form in, you know, little vials. Put it in my bag, went to Cape Town.
Did they not arrest you at the airport for that, thinking it was drugs?
International airport, I wouldn't try it. But
I would definitely expect that to be a way people would ferry drugs.
Mm. Huh? Yes.
For sure, I reckon.
Yeah, but George is in shape, though, so you can correlate between the two.
But that's exactly
if you're out of shape with protein powder, you look at you
got problems.
Are you trying to kid?
What do you –
drop your rods, we're checking
your
notes.
No, I'd be very – I'd be like, excuse me, so I can't get healthy? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a fair point that you do make.
Sorry, what was that? Were you just checking someone's backside? What?
You said something about the moon, Uranus.
So what happened?
So I was in the hotel room and I had finished the bottled water that was there. It was like 8:30 p.m. at night, a Thursday night. And I decided, well, I wanted to have my protein shake and there wasn't any more water. I wasn't going to go out to reception and do all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I used tap water in Cape Town.
Uh-oh. Is that not a good
mistake
thing?
Mistake number one.
Not right now.
Oh, mistake number one.
Are you not meant to drink the water?
No, not at all. It's very dangerous.
They've put a notice out saying the water's contaminated.
E. coli.
You can get cholera.
Oh my! In Cape Town, I thought they were the most advanced place in Africa. What's this all about?
Me too. This is
what is the heart?
So anyway, I knocked one of those protein shakes back. Went to bed. Next morning, woke up. Had another one. As you do. And then from the weekend, I started getting stomach cramps.
George.
Well, not cramps. My stomach was burning. Absolutely. Oh my God. Burning.
You went for the race and by the time it comes race time.
I was manned down from Monday. So just none of that happened though, Gareth. It wasn't a stomach bug.
Oh, no, it wasn't a stomach bug. It was cholera in the water.
So fast forward to Tuesday morning. And I can hardly walk. I'm bent over. I'm totally manned out.
Not diarrhea or constipation.
Nothing. No vomiting.
Like inside the stomach.
Between your belly button and your rib cage, the pain was excruciating.
I'm guessing you would rather have the squirts because then you know something's happening.
It sounds almost like you've got like a ball of lead in your stomach.
It's like
something.
Your stomach's being held hostage by all of this.
Yes, by the protein, the angry protein shake.
I realized this week that your stomach and your arsehole are the boss.
Yes. Yes. This is true. If there is something with the gut that is, everything else shuts down. Everything else goes, we're not arguing with this guy.
No.
If the gut's not happy, the rest of you is deeply unhappy.
I was not happy. So I go to the doctor on Tuesday. I went to the doctor Monday. I went to the doctor on Monday and she gave me a drug called Trustan. which is an acid.
Nice name, because you're looking for that.
Yeah, no, trust that.
Trust, that's what I, that's what
which
I
is
need.
An acid, I need something I can inhibitor. Believe in. Because she says...
So was this severe acid reflux?
It was. So she said it could be a couple of things, but definitely the burning and where the pain is something to do with my stomach lining.
An ulcer?
It could have been an ulcer.
Oh, my God.
So stomach lines are tough because they're not very big. Mm. And you mess that up. It's not like you got more.
No.
You just regrow another layer.
Well, producer Ryan says, that is why I drink Coke only. Ain't nobody got time for that. Well, Ryan, that's also not a very...
It's not healthy. No, and Dr. Mark has told us that it's not healthy. Like,
right.
You're going to die, Chief. So yeah. Drink Stop your water.
So George...
him and his diabetes had work around that.
Something like acid, or a tear in the stomach lining or something like that. That doesn't sound like something would be caused by the water in Cape Town. No matter how horrible that water is, it doesn't have actual things with chainsaws in them. Like trying to make their way through your stomach lining.
No. So the doctor said it could be anything. At that point, I didn't put two and two together that the water was the only thing that changed in my diet, because I usually only drink bottled water. I don't drink tap water.
You're way too fancy to drink
that. Is the George kind of, Meany.
I drink tap water. Kind of you drink tap water?
Yeah, I guess
so. And Joburg, yeah.
The only reason I don't at home is because my JoJo tanks that get water in, I'm scared that there's bacteria that kind of accumulates in there.
I would have thought you were the kind of guy who would have got a UV filter already.
No, I don't have one of those.
No?
I generally always boil stuff and then put it, because I drink a lot of electrolytes.
Yeah. Well, that would have killed, like, would probably thing. Hurt me.
But like, has this been the same whey protein or that you've been using for a while?
Yeah.
You didn't try something different at Dis-Chem.
So George, it had to be the water.
It had to have been the water.
It's not like months and months of eating sour worms.
Or broccoli.
Cause that could, I mean, you're not going to develop a huge acid problem overnight.
Well, listen, I mean, hear the rest of the story. So
there's always more.
Yeah, there's always more. So the doctor gives me this trust.
Are you dying, George? Have you come into the studio this morning?
How many days do you have left?
I thought I was dying. So the doctor gives me this trust stand. I take one of those at about 1 o'clock. About 2 hours later, I was like, this is just getting worse. This is not helping. Go back to the doctor. I said, so where's that drip you said that you could put me on? So I lie there. They put a Nexium drip in my arm. And I leave, and it's just not getting better.
Oh, my God. George, Monday night. This is day five.
Yeah, day four. The Monday night, I didn't sleep. Tuesday morning, I wake up. I check myself into casualty, because now I'm like,
you're going to die.
And I'm not the kind of person that goes to hospital very easily. I check myself into casualty, and I probably had one of the best casualty doctors you could have, because he said, okay, I'm going to put you on some serious pain drugs. But I need to take 6 vials of blood, because I want to do a full blood panel, and I want to check all your organs to isolate your stomach.
6 vials of blood. The guy's was his surname Dracula. Nosferatu. I just need 6 vials of your blood.
Did he take a lock of your hair as well?
Yeah. Stool sample.
Well, that's one of the ways to check your gut, I think.
Oh, definitely. Everything comes out one end, goes in the other.
So he takes these 6 vials of blood. They stick the pain drugs into my arm. I mean,
you've got a bruise.
You've got a big bruise there, two holes there.
George, you've had a horrible week.
I've had a horrible week. That's why I say
Ben
injuries.
Was complaining about his week, but you...
No, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm stepping aside.
This is like when you met the paraplegic guy. Much worse on George's front.
So 20 minutes later, Gareth, I thought I was in heaven. The pain was gone.
Oh, nice pain drug.
It was like, oh, this is what life should be like. Anyway, so I'm laying there.
That's why people get addicted to those opiates in America.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you about the opiates
in a
second.
Big problem.
Because there's more. So,
let me get comfy. This story is getting juicy.
Congo Chris just wants to throw this in. George, when you die from explosive shits, can I have your cars, please?
Yeah, when you clean it.
All right. Yeah, because George will die. Knowing George, he's such a car guy. He will die in the car rather than die in the bed.
Probably.
All right. So what happened then?
So they go and they eliminate the other organs. I thought this was a brilliant doctor, because he said, okay, I'm going to check kidney, liver, pancreas, gallbladder, did sonars. Like within like 2 or 3 hours, he had checked every organ.
Just because he saw your car driving in, because it sounds like this guy is
expensive, right?
Yeah, this guy is expensive. He's like,
oh no, oh, the CEO of Auto Trader. Oh, let me charge.
If I'd rolled in, the guy that would have said cough three times and have an aspirin. Yeah.
And go home.
Ben, they would have just sent him away with a suppository.
I said to him, I'm not going home until this pain's gone. So he checks all the other organs, blood panel comes back, everything's perfect, liver function, everything's in the right parameters.
I was
relieved about that, yeah. So I thought maybe liver, I don't know what the hell's going on in there.
Oh, it's all that heavy drinking.
Yeah, jeez, you know. I mean, so he says to me, okay, I've eliminated all the organs, it is your stomach. Yeah. So that's what he's done. He says to me, it can only be one of three things. Either you've got an infection of the lining of your stomach, or you've got an ulcer, or you've got some bacteria that apparently can proliferate inside the lining of your stomach. I don't know what it's called. I can't remember the name.
And at this stage, he's saying, I'm just going to go spend 3 hours in my new Porsche while I digest all of this, and then I'll come back and run some more tests.
So what was it? You're killing us with the suspension here.
And
I'm not talking about the car suspension.
So he says to me, the only way to tell definitively is to put a camera down your throat.
Oh, boy.
So you can't tell what's inside your stomach. You can't tell if there's an ulcer.
There really was more to the story.
To put a camera down your throat. I said to him, is there any way to avoid that? Because apparently you're going to do it.
Then he went to his office and looked at what the most expensive treatments he could find
were. He's phoning people from Switzerland at this stage. It's like, guys,
I got a massively wealthy dude in here. Let's just charge. What else can we find to like stick down his throat or up his asshole and check that something's got to be wrong.
They weren't going to stick anything in any orifice in my body.
So you just said no to the camera?
No, well, I said to him, okay, are there any other alternatives? I really don't feel like a scope right now.
No, it's because it's horrible.
You've got to be awake for that thing, apparently.
Oh. And of course, anything goes down your throat, you're going to gag. And,
so he says to me,
George.
He says, chances that it's an ulcer is low. He said, because ulcers don't come on overnight. They take apparently weeks or months to come on. So he says to me, you can go home if the pain meds are working. And if the pain comes back in 3 or 4 days, then you're going to have a scope.
Oh.
So I go home Tuesday night. I'm okay. Pain's there. I go back to him on Wednesday morning because the pain returned by the Wednesday morning.
Oh,
so this was done before yesterday.
Now you're thinking scope.
I'm thinking scope time.
Yeah.
So he says to me, out of 10, how was the pain on yesterday morning versus how's the pain now? I said to him, it's probably about a 5 out of 10 now, whereas it was a flipping 12 out of 10 yesterday. He says, okay. He says, I'm going to give you a strong broad spectrum antibiotic. I still don't think it's an ulcer.
All these tests and charging, no doubt, like a wounded buffalo, he just gives you a general antibiotic, which your GP could have given you.
Well, he gave me an antibiotic that apparently fights this bacteria that might be there. But it also fights other stuff. So he gives me this antibiotic and he gives me an opioid.
Oh, tell me about that.
So I still haven't taken the opioid.
Oh, you're keeping it for another day.
I've got you.
I didn't want
you having a rough day. All right.
So anyway, it's actually gone since Wednesday. It's
just died out itself.
Well,
because of the antibiotic.
It must have been the antibiotic, yeah.
So Cape Town water is so bad that it can reduce a fit, healthy person like George to a misery in a week.
I think it was that. I definitely did.
God, that is bad. I hope that, listen, Cape Townians, if this is the first you're hearing this, please, for God's sake, boil your water.
Just Carl's adding in here. Surprise, surprise. Has had a man put something down his throat? You don't need to be awake. I had both scopes last year. Oh. They put me out. Oh. Well, felt nothing but woke up with an erection. Here we go.
I don't think that's about medicine.
At all.
I don't think that's got anything to do with his treatment. George, you know what will make your week instantly better? The F1 season starts today.
Oh, it does too.
You're interested in
Bahrain,
that.
Right?
Mm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listen, a bunch of really, really horrible injuries going over here. Just people saying, you know, that they've had terrible things happen. And the bottled water is just as bad. Plastic bottles do the research, says John Bad Dog. Oh, please. Something's going to kill you.
Something's going to get you, whether it's short term, whatever. Yeah. We should be so happy that it's Friday and then we actually.
I'd rather die over 30 years from drinking bottled water than drinking Cape Town water in 3 days.
Almost killed you in a week. And that's horrific. All right. Well, Borge, stop whining, says Carl. Just have a whiskey and get back to charging your car and filling your JoJo tank. So you're feeling normal again?
Yeah, I'm feeling normal for the first time. probably this morning, last night. My stomach was uncomfortable, but it was okay.
The problem with this too is you went down for this E-Pre, right? Which, by the way, someone sent me a video and it does sound like Scalextrics.
It does.
Which is a bit disappointing.
It's very loud though.
Yeah, but it still sounds like Scalextrics. Yeah,
it does. It's
a bit disappointing. I gotta say, like I know you're into the E cars.
No, I have an opinion, Gareth. I think that we will stick with hybrids on the racetrack, just like horses were relegated to the racetrack.
Okay, so it'll be a sport, but it'll be a specialist sport, and people will continue to watch real Formula One, and this will develop as another sport.
Exactly,
which is fine. They can both live. Yeah. Neither sport needs to die.
Sport, right? Entertainment. Yeah. You've just got to get people to want to have a Joel, and right. 20,000 people had a Joel on.
Absolutely.
The weekend.
I mean, I know a lot of drunk people who live in Cape Town. Some of them are my friends. They, any excuse will do. If going to the E-Pre is the excuse for them, it's really about the drinking. Mm. And luckily, no one fell over the railing onto the cars, because that would have been a disaster. But it seems to have gone well.
Yeah, I think it, I mean, it brought, I think I said last week, 2.4 billion rand into the country, which is brilliant.
No, good. That's great.
The reason these things should happen.
And I'm happy for Cape Town, because that city is running itself very well, except for their water, clearly, which is very embarrassing. Got to say again, do not drink the water.
Don't even drink it in Joburg, because the first person died of cholera the other day. Brakpan.
Well,
there was a news report.
But that's Brakpan. I don't think that was the water from the tap. They probably just went down to the river and actually, you know, used their hands. You from the East Rand.
Yeah, yeah, that's not giving you the stanky eye. Like,
it's not impossible for people to be
quiet, though.
People to drink, people to drink from the river in Brakpan, or from the actual pan in Brakpan is, you know, what's that dam that you guys with that's always full of aero fuel and stuff?
Lakeside?
No, man, there's a Bonero or whatever. They are actually, like, there's one lake that the birds smell of avgas because, no, really. I wish Greta Thunberg would come and spend 15 minutes on the East Rand. She'd never complain about any other country again. She'd be out there scooping up oil.
She won't get up.
Washing the waterfowl. She'd have a short life. I don't think people around that dam live very long. So, Greta, if you're listening, we've got some serious business for you here.
Come to the East Rand. Yeah, have fun, though. You know.
By the way, she was supposedly arrested by the police. I don't know if you saw this.
That seems so staged.
It's the second staged and theatrical. Yeah. That's exactly what it was. And they arrested Norwegian police. I mean, can you imagine the Norwegian police?
For what? What grounds?
Because she was part of a protest against wind turbines. Exactly. Just take a minute.
Is she running out of things to protest about? She's going full circle.
So this is it. the activist environmentalist left will always eat itself, because nothing's ever good enough, right? They think that they can achieve utopia.
She's the epitome of autophagy.
There we go. So here's the problem with her.
Is that when you get bacteria in the throat?
That's what George had up his asshole, is an autophagy. That's why it's fine now. You just have to wait for it to go away. But Greta Thunberg was arrested by the Norwegian police for protesting against wind turbines, because the reindeer farmers say that the wind turbines have upset the reindeer, so they're not mating. So she went, how dare you? And she went out and walked around in her Ugg boots or whatever and ate some vegan, I don't know, soy sauce and
charged out for three bananas
and stomped her foot and went, I am very, very angry. My childhood has been taken, and all the same shit she's been saying for a while, except now she's not a cute little girl anymore who just has a very angry face. Now she's like an adult who has an angry face, and that gets much less attention. So now she has to ratchet it up a bit, you know, otherwise her cred goes down the toilet, which it pretty much has. Because Germany's restocking their fuel portfolio with coal-burning power stations. Most of Europe is saying, you know, Greta, it was great, but the adults are in the room now because we've got a war with Russia on and we're cold in the winter. We need fuel.
But she doesn't seem to have any ideas. I mean, couldn't she be cupping a few of the reindeer's balls or playing some Marvin Gaye?
Does that to warm her little hands because it's so cold in Norway.
Why can't they learn from the pig farmers?
What happens to pig farmers?
They help the pigs mate.
Oh.
Every farmer out there has a solution to mating.
Well,
if the reindeer's having a bad day.
Listen, the fact is these wind turbines are not generating the power that most of these countries need. And the problem is people like Greta are looking for utopia. They're looking for everything to work all the time. And they don't take into consideration human nature. Humans are mostly quite useless at stuff.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who aren't useless at stuff, and we talk about them on the show and how great they are at developing new and innovative ways of sorting out problems. But there are always going to be problems. And these people who live in the world and think we can solve all the problems, we can get to a point where no one will be murdered, where there'll never be any violence, there'll never be any people who step out of line. You just don't understand human nature.
We're probably living in one of the best times on the planet.
No, we are not, George.
We are.
How dare you say this? I am very unhappy. My life has been a misery because of things that you have done as a normal white cis hetero male who's just putting carbon into the atmosphere with your cars.
100 years ago, what I had this week would have killed you.
Taking the batteries.
Yeah,
you would have been dead.
Not even
100 years ago, 50 years ago, you would have been dead.
You would have been dead.
I mean, you read about, I read this fascinating article the other day. Someone sent it to me about like medical care in the Napoleonic Wars. I mean, if you
imagine the infections in those wars,
if a cannon blew off your one leg, which happened quite a lot to people, because these cannonballs would come and then they'd bounce, these huge balls of lead, they'd bounce and then just smash through like 50 people, right? And some of them would be just turned into red powder. And some of them, because that was like, if it hit you full on,
video game,
you should be vaporized into red powder. And you know, then everyone else would be, oh, gross, because that you'd be splattered all over them. But if it hit just your leg, let's say it was bouncing a little bit,
clipped you.
You got it at the end and it took off you. They would then have to cut above where the cannonball got you, cauterize it, which means light a fire, put a red hot poker in the fire until it was red hot.
And
all the
no
time
anesthetic.
You're screaming. No anesthetic.
Well, you wouldn't scream because you were tough back then.
Well, you'd have a piece of leather between your teeth, and you'd be biting down on that, and they'd be pouring alcohol down your throat to make you drunk, because that's how you'd get through it.
If there's a time machine, please send Greta.
Well, I as much as I don't like Greta, I don't even want that to happen to her. But this attitude that the world is shit now is just so ungrateful. Like, just be a little bit grateful.
You're just disconnected though. I mean, it means you've never solved a problem in your life, because sometimes problems have to have less than ideal solutions.
Well, the only way we learn is through failure.
It's going to be a compromise. Sometimes you have to give this up to get that. You have to give that up to get this. But there's no idea of like, oh, no, I want my whole utopian idea to come into fruition. Otherwise, it must be the system. We must tear it down.
It's like, I want an omelet, but don't you dare crack an egg.
Right.
You're never going to get breakfast then, love.
Correct.
Sorry, but that's just.
Sorry. And don't call her love. How dare you? How dare you?
Use the right pronouns.
Anyway, get on a call with Mr. Meany, Ben, Gareth, and Simpiwe. Oh, this is producer Ryan telling you to call us. 083-295-5769. I think people are a bit nervous after Famous Mama called in this morning.
She took the standard right up.
Yeah.
If you hear the stories, the bar is high, and then George just rocks up here with near death on top of that, unexpected.
I think I'm actually going to walk out of here with a fear of things going wrong.
Hazmat suit.
Yeah. I mean, the Friday you had last week, George's week. Horrible.
No, we're the only ones who
Simpiwe touch wood.
Yes, we are the only ones. So, stick with us and nothing bad would happen.
I'm getting far away from the both of you as soon as the show's done. Something's about to happen.
Nothing's going to happen to us.
No.
All right. So there are a couple other things Simpiwe wanted to bring out here. She said, forget about a BBL. There's a new trend of ladies getting a BB glow. So we were talking about glowing in these lights, but a BBL is a big booty lift.
Brazilian
booty lift.
Oh, I thought it was a T20 league.
Oh, hang on. Let's just take this call and see who this is. Hello.
There are a couple other things. Thanks.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. Who's this?
It's Yonda. Happy Friday, people.
All right, Yonda. You sound excited. What's happened to you? I've just had my first drink
for Friday. So
listen,
7 in the morning.
I think that's quite
early.
Let him say
what time
of you. Let him say what it is.
What did you drink?
Early for a drink.
What did you drink?
I'm actually having a smell of berries.
Oh,
I like
a Okay, and I'm totally judging you now.
I'm sorry. That's a hell of a waste.
Why are you judging me?
Okay, well, just, I mean, how many 14-year-old girls are around you at this moment with your Smirnoff Berry?
Zero at this moment, and not planning to have any around me.
How much?
Are you drinking those to try attract them?
Yeah. Listen, Yonder, I don't know that it's a good idea, even on a Friday morning, to be drinking before night. Even Winston Churchill only started at 9. And he was a...
That's why I'm going to be the new revolution in it and actually show you people what good it actually brings you starting before 7 o'clock. Or 7 o'clock, actually, before 8.
Change your drink of choice, Chief. No.
Yeah, Smirnoff. I mean, really, that's a very girly drink. But even so, I mean, I don't think you should even be having those before 9 o'clock.
It was a leftover by one of the girls that was over. So I was like, you know what? Let me just actually have it. Yeah. So it's just sitting alone.
You said one of the girls who was over? So you have more than one visiting you in any given week?
Yes. Jeez. You must actually change some.
You know, wow, look at you. It's a real player, this guy.
As long as I get permission from the girlfriend first.
Oh, so you've also got a girlfriend?
Yeah.
And she's okay with you having other girls over?
Yes.
I don't know how to respond to that. I'm just predicting a lot of pain in your future. That's all I can say. And I'm not talking about the drinking and a hangover from a Smirnoff, whatever.
Or the Cape Town water.
No.
Okay. Luckily, right. I don't suffer from hangovers. For now.
It's because you keep drinking. That's just called being drunk.
that's the other theory, Ben, but I do get sober because I do.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Yonder.
And
we're not going to encourage drunkenness on a Friday morning. First,
good luck as you go towards your job at Tambo Airport, guiding those planes in. No doubt, you're very good at
managing
job.
The railways to make sure they cross at the right time and they stop the right train and before the crossing. You know, that's Yonder's
day on the forklift goes well.
Congo Chris says, "Don't listen to them, Yonder. Beer is the breakfast of champions." Oh no, God no!
If you're a Viking or something, yes, totally.
Well, those guys had to, again, if you go back, like before a war or whatever, you'd have to get completely molded because otherwise life was just untenable.
Mm. Yeah, but if you live in quite a rural place, that's also how you can get calories. Not the best.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but I mean, they burnt it off so quickly.
Like my uncle always says, beer's a meal, boy, beer's a meal. He honestly believes that. Yeah. He'll like tuck into a beer in the middle of the day and that's all he needs.
Well, if you have a Guinness and it's cold, can you normally throw a pie in there as well? Mm. Look, this isn't exactly sexy talk, but no, people do this.
Simpiwe, you've never had a Guinness and a pie.
No, it doesn't sound anything that
I don't think I've ever had a Guinness.
That's not your culture.
Okay, so this winter we must go for a Guinness.
That sounds dangerous. I can't drink that stuff. I'm still very young, Ben.
It's like having a cappuccino with a beer flavor.
It's like wrestling with an old man.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I just don't like the color. It's black. It's like, yeah.
I wonder what that's doing to my innards. I'll have innards like George.
They've been making it for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. Guinness was the first ever beer brand.
Yeah. I believe it doesn't taste bad. I've never tasted one.
It's thick.
There were beers in ancient Egypt that had nothing to do with Guinness. Don't give the Irish too much credit.
You say that now, but those Egyptians were known for St. Patrick's Day.
The Irish are...
Pyramids were green.
In the queue of European countries. Oh, by the way, I heard something fascinating this week from a guy who was born in Moldova.
Okay.
Moldova is a tiny little country on the eastern side of Romania. It's the poorest country in Europe, and it's also the saddest country in Europe. So when you think about miserable places,
wind turbines just going nonstop.
No, it's just the most miserable place ever. Apparently, the happiness index, which is this thing they do, Moldova always comes up last. People there are just unbelievably hopeless and miserable.
Oh wow!
So just when you think Eskom, the shit water that George drank, you know, you've got financial problems, your relationship's not going well, your business is whatever your problem is in the world right now, Moldova, it would be much worse. I mean, the place even sounds bad. Moldova. It's grown over with mold. Mm. Horrible, right?
Yeah.
And they're also being threatened at the moment with war because there are Russian troops. There are Russian troops in Moldova and the Russians might want to take it over just like Putin's trying to do in the Ukraine. Yo. So it's extra shitty at the moment.
Is it just one of those places that obviously there was communism, and then
yes,
they never bounced back.
Yeah, that's pretty much the story. But sure. Also, they do have wine. They have like a 6-kilometer tunnel under Moldova, which is filled with wine. It's like one of the world's best wine cellars. But
oh, bottles of wine.
Clearly, the people don't.
I was picturing vineyards underground.
Don't tell South Africans that.
How does that even grow?
Is it like a rich person's wine dump?
It's like the world's largest cellar. It's perfect temperature, perfect moisture content. It's apparently the best place to store wine. But the people of Moldova cannot afford the wine that's stored there. So people from all over the rest of the world send their wine. Then these poor Moldovan people have to watch as the wine is loaded into
you
the cellar.
You should have led with that, Gareth. Now I understand. I'd also be in my feelings when there's like wine over there that I can't drink. But there is like other people living their best lives.
you know how insignificant or how poor you must feel if your country is a wine cellar. Mm. Like that's a new low.
That's all they've got. And their currency is called the lur. The lur. L-E-U. Lur.
Sure. Okay.
So they're not even on the euro. They're just got their little scraps of paper.
No, the EU doesn't want them. They've tried to join.
I now understand why. Nah,
the lur.
Imagine.
Could I please just have five lur? I just need to catch the bus. No. From one gray little communist town to another. I'd love to just move out of my concrete bunker into the wine cellar bunker, but I need 10 lur, please. That's how shit Moldova is.
How do you spell that lur?
L-E-U.
L-E-U.
Yeah. Oh. What a terrible, terrible place. Apparently also in the main square, because they're an old communist country, they have speakers on the flag posts. You know those speakers that face in four directions? Old school speakers.
Yeah. It looks like one of those.
And they play classical music
all day.
And then when the government has to announce something, they go, "Attention, citizens of Moldova." And they broadcast this horrible communist propaganda across it.
"Today, the Great Parliament of Moldova decided that it is acceptable for you to wear shoes in winter. Thank you."
I should play the ice cream truck song.
Exactly.
Here's an interesting quote about Moldova. Some guy called Eric Weiner said, "Without an abiding faith or culture on which to rely on, Moldovans harbor a superstitious worldview that is free-floating, anchored to nothing but a cloud of pessimism hovers over the sad land."
Oh, my God. That's the most depressing thing I've ever heard.
You know how many sad faces?
A cloud of pessimism.
You know what's the population of Moldova?
Let me tell you. Yeah, sad, but total population is 2.6 million people.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. What a horrible place.
Reason number 7,389,000 that communism doesn't work. Here are the thoughts.
Yeah. What is Moldova famous for? The wine, but not the stuff they grow. 200 kilometers of underground roadways. People would rather live like hobbits underground or like the dwarves from Lord of the Rings that live underground, right? They would rather live like that than be exposed to the actual environment of Moldova.
My goodness. And they've got like a negative population growth rate. Not surprising.
Please read that quote again. That was the most depressing thing I've ever heard.
It really was.
I'm going to point people to that. Listen, please, ladies and gentlemen of South Africa, no matter how, and wherever you are in the world, frankly, I don't know whether anyone's listening to us in Moldova, but this really depresses me. Just read it again, Ben. Wait, I need to play some sad music underneath because this is not the kind of thing you just let slip. All right, let's go.
"Without an abiding faith or culture on which to rely, Moldovans harbor a superstitious worldview that is free-floating, anchored to nothing but the cloud of pessimism that hovers over the sad land." So really, like the only time these people are happy, the only time they're happy is when the Moldovan national football team plays. Have you ever heard of them winning anything?
No.
I didn't even know Moldova was so depressing.
Exactly. So their only time to get happy is when their team runs up, but they're not beating anybody.
And then I have to ask you, why would Russia want to conquer this country?
The wine. They want to annex the wine.
You think so? That's all it is. Got to be, right? Mm-hmm. No other reason to do it. Oh, my God. What a horrible place. Well, I now feel better about myself, no matter how many injuries Ben or George mm-hmm. might accrue during the course of the day. At least we don't live in Moldova. Mm-hmm. My God.
Jesus.
What an awful, awful story. Krongo Chris says, Moldova sounds like PE. Yes. Parallel parking. Any place beginning with the word mold is not inviting, even if they try and convince us the mold is over. Mongezi says, bringing us back to earth, at least Moldova has electricity.
But maybe, they don't have wine.
Maybe. Well, they do, but they're not allowed to drink it. Oh, my God. All right. So after that description of Moldova, George is ready for that opioid. All right. Well, if you want to get hold of us, especially if you're from Moldova, then South Africa. So +27832955769. Mm-hmm. Just put it on your phone. Even if you don't want to call today, you're getting to one point. There's going to be a moment where you feel you need to call us. So just save that as it is. All right. Quick other thing. Ben, you have finally subscribed to TikTok.
No, whoa.
Yes,
whoa,
you have.
Whoa,
Admit it. You've gone on to TikTok. Ben.
Do you have a TikTok account?
He said he never would.
But I don't.
You went on to TikTok. You told me.
Yes, I was considering it because obviously I live in a world where people want to use TikTok and they need guidance and stuff, which I obviously never give them because I don't know.
Okay.
I'm referring to other people. But I needed very desperately, because we've just got issues with staff at the moment and they've been pulled in other directions, I had to now try create a TikTok video this week for a client.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I downloaded the app.
Mm-hmm.
I got to the terms conditions thing.
Mm-hmm.
I then put my phone down. I went no further.
Oh, so you were also frightened off by this.
Did you read the terms and conditions?
I did not, but I just know that
it contains something.
There's malicious. It's like basically the George's water of tech is about to come on me. So I left it, and then we actually just made the video and someone else used it on their phone. But it's quite interesting. Like, all social media is in decline.
He just delegated.
No,
I didn't do it, guys. I didn't do it.
Okay.
So don't judge me.
I'm happy for you because it means at least Xi Jinping will know less about you.
He almost had my phone, guys.
Almost.
He almost had it.
Ah, got you now. Yeah. Burrito Ben Krupp.
Bring you to Moldova.
But the interesting thing about TikTok is that's the actual only social media that's incline. Well, as in people growing. Growing,
yes.
As in engagements.
Mm-hmm.
So since 2019, just look at Instagram. Their engagement rates were 1.22. They're now down to 0.47. Facebook's gone from 009 to 006.
Oh, wow.
Twitter's gone from 045 to 035. TikTok is at a staggering 6% engagement.
I've got to say, this is why we were talking about Uncancelled that we did last week and how those numbers are. They're all organic. We haven't bought or boosted anything, right? This is genuine. It must be way higher because they've suppressed these numbers so much because they want you to pay for the stuff, right?
Absolutely.
So now I feel so much better about it. So if Simpiwe talks about like hundreds of thousands of views and, you know, tens of thousands of new subscribers and things, that's real.
Yes.
And we're not paying for that.
Yes.
And it makes me feel better about it because these days, look at that. Those numbers are devastating.
These are average engagement rates.
Wow, that's pathetic.
The best Twitter has had is 0.045.
Wow.
The best Instagram. I mean,
you'd have a better time going out onto Rivonia Road here and having a sign around your neck.
Okay, seriously. Handing out pamphlets at robots.
You'd reach more people.
So TikTok with its 5.69, but
that's
huge. Then again, can you trust China?
No. And also, you shouldn't let your children onto TikTok.
Yes.
You know that even Canada, which is the most woke, stupid, left-wing country you can imagine in the first world, even they have banned government departments from using TikTok on any of their government machines. You're not allowed to use TikTok at work because they realize, like, there's just a spy operation. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And they're allowing dumb people to watch dance videos on there.
Yes.
But the real story is that they're spying. They don't need a balloon up in the air with all of that equipment.
That's so smart.
You're giving up your info yourself.
But look, I mean, Ricky makes a good point. Obviously, because it's newer than the other ones, it gets the engagement because people want to be on that. And it is. It's like visual crack. But I always remember this one episode of Rick and Morty.
Mm.
It was so funny. And it comes back to this. So Jerry, the dad, he's like a dumbass, okay? And Rick always treats him like shit as the dumbass that he never should have married my daughter because he's a proper beneath
him. He hates him.
And there was always this weird like alien hanging around the house. And if you ever talk to him, you say, can I build you an app? And then
I remember
that episode. Yeah. And Rick was always like, never let that guy build you an app. So then Rick goes on some other like space journey and the guy goes to Jerry, let me build you an app. And Jerry's like, yeah, okay, that'd be quite fun. But he builds this dating app, which is like the most, it turns the entire world against everyone because the moment you're on it, you find someone that's going to be perfect for you. But the moment you find that person who's perfect for you, the app tells you about someone else. And this is what TikTok is basically. Amazing. Every single reel that comes out is better than the next. So then you get stuck in this vortex of just visual stimulus.
No, so that's the difference with TikTok. It's not about
we actually have an expert here. I mean, like,
which is why is someone, I want to take this conversation.
Someone who knows what she's talking about. Go ahead, Simpy.
What makes TikTok so brilliant is not the fact that you're going to get this like beautiful created content. It's one, the algorithm is perfect, so you're gonna get what you are into. So if you're not
the social graph, right?
Yes. So if you're not into that,
that's exactly my point. Like,
you're gonna get food, whatnot, and all that. But then also, you're also getting real time people telling you about, oh, I bought this product and it doesn't work. So you're getting real reviews and you're watching people kind of engage, and you can stitch it and whatnot. And that's the new thing, is that you, before on Instagram, you couldn't necessarily be like, oh, Gareth, I like that video, so I'm also going to stitch it and join you in that video. Whereas TikTok is like, you're allowed to just wake up one morning, be in your car, and record an entire video ranting about your day, and we're all listening and we're all saying, damn, that's true, I also go through that. And that's the huge phenomenon of
TikTok. That's exactly where I'm going. It is so instinctive around what you need and want. That's why you're so stuck on it.
Because they've killed.
No, there is, because there's life hacks, there's how to's, all these kind of things. There's no doubt it's done good. But some people, like everything in this world, humans corrupt it and humans fuck it up.
That's true. Because, but I will say, with the good, like in terms of the book industry, for example, like hashtag BookTok. I think
BookTok is a big deal. Yes. I saw this. There's a section at Exclusive Books for BookTok.
Yes.
We met with the publishers the other day and they were telling me about this. It's mind blowing.
Yeah. And it's all because of TikTok. And we all know that like people haven't really been reading. So there's been this decline of people buying books. Mm-hmm. And because of TikTok now, like people are going on to just share, oh, this is the book I'm reading. And the hashtag BookTok was created. I think it has over like 22 billion impressions or views. And now people review the books and it's actually increased book sales. So
I do have to admit, most of what you're talking about, like stitching and shit, it sounds to me like I'm really stupid. I don't know what the hell's going on anymore. And I'm actually okay with that.
So that was another point that I'm going to make.
I'm like, all right with it.
Everything you say, I'm not disputing that whatsoever.
Simpy's going to handle all that for me. I'm like, you passed it on to someone else. I'm passing it on to Simpy. I don't know the shit at
as
all.
As a platform, it's genius. The There's no doubt about it. Oh, it's genius because it is so damn engaging, and they've just reinvented the algorithm.
Yes.
No. You know, like, I forget the brand now, but they were working out how they could be so good in the fashion industry, because fashion's trends, right?
Mm.
So take a company like Zara. Their whole thing was that they could turn trends around so quickly. So you would see something and you'd be able to buy it at an affordable rate. So us here sitting in Sandton, we could see maybe something that happens at a world event, and we could probably buy a garment that's quite similar to the next day. Celebrities in the next sort of week or so.
No.
So this other Chinese company who, sorry, I know this is very obvious. I forget the name now. They basically put algorithms into fashion. So it was like kind of like right now fashion. So you'd be literally on TikTok with some sort of like amazing sort of dance that someone's doing. They look incredible. And then you get served this thing. Like, you can buy that outfit. But it's so quick. It's like instant. So now, because we have this whole thing about instant gratification, they have gamified this to the level where this fashion company is like blowing everyone away.
Oh, but that's where also technology is going.
Yeah.
So we're not going to leave the house to buy anything. You're going to see an ad with the someone in the new outfit, whatever. And you can be like, I want that t-shirt, size, whatnot. And then you'll see like maybe a picture of you. Oh, how do I look like? And then you can order that. And then boom, shaka, boom, you have not even left your house and you've gone like,
jeez.
Things delivered because you're on TikTok, and that's where that's where they actually want to go with the technology.
But it's not, the execution of what they've done is good, but the underlying reason they're doing it is the bad thing, potentially. The balloons and the.
I'm going to be fine. You could check my phone. There's no TikTok on there, and I'm not in any hurry to get it on there. I'm sorry. People send me cool videos on WhatsApp anyway that come off of TikTok.
What most people are doing now is they're posting the video both on Instagram and
There's no one I'm that interested in the world that I want to follow them on TikTok as well. I'll manage. If they're already on the other stuff that I'm on, cool.
Yeah, but that's exactly where we are in our lives. We've been so exposed to this kind of stuff as well. Like, I look at the engagement rates and I don't like or subscribe or comment on things. I watch things that I need to watch and I move on. Mm-hmm. So in the past, we would always be so engaging.
You are the problem person in my life.
I am absolutely that. I am. I don't leave a comment.
Why doesn't anyone to like this?
Jeez, you only got 2 likes. Damn, you're not doing good.
I don't do the statistics.
All right. Very important. Like, public service announcement. I think this is useful stuff. A friend of mine sent me this this morning. It's a story from Puberty on Instagram. Sign. It says, when a bear attacks, don't push a slower friend down, National Park Service says. True story. The National Park Service in America has advised park goers, if they encounter a bear, to not push a slower friend down.
Well, it's like, why do divers carry knives? So you can stab your buddy when you see a shark.
That's nice. So now we know divers are real assholes. If you come across a bear, never push a slower friend down, even if you feel that the friendship has run its course.
That is nice.
That's an incredible thing for them to actually put out there. Even if the friendship has run its course, the service tweeted this on Tuesday. One user replied, what if you're the slower friend? National Parks replied to that, check in on your friendship before you head to the woods. This is for real. Someone there has a great sense of humor. Another user said, okay, but what if the bear looks really hungry? Don't they deserve a little snack as a treat? The National Park replied, do you consider yourself the faster or the slower of the two friends?
So moral of the story is, don't be the slow one.
Oh my God. So someone there has a sense of humor, which I like very much. All right, George, anything you want to throw in before we get cracking?
Yeah.
Start our Friday morning.
I will give you one thing, if we can, we get to.
Sure.
But
not at all.
Driving makes you smarter.
Ooh.
I know this. I'll tell you what I know about this. You have to drive different routes.
Yes.
And if you drive different routes, you start new neural pathways. If you do the same route every day, you do exactly the same, stop at the same place, you know where all the speed traps are, you know where all the landmarks are. You're not exercising your brain. Do a different route, not every day, but like once a week, you choose a different route.
Okay.
You actually are teaching yourself all kinds of new things. It's making the brain work harder. It's like doing crosswords or any of that stuff.
So exactly what Gareth said, but the scientific reason is when tasks require your full attention, the central executive network, apparently in your brain, parts of your brain are more active. And it enables us to focus on mentally demanding activities by filtering out non-essential thoughts from your subconscious mind, also called the imagination network. So when you're doing what Gareth describes, your imagination network then starts to get freed up. And that's when you start to have creative ideas. Have you ever been in the car and then suddenly you come up with this bright idea and you can't write it down?
Mm-hmm.
It's because your central executive network is working and your subconscious is freed up.
Very good. Well, I mean, I think that that's probably a good idea all around. You shouldn't really be doing other stuff while you're driving in the first place. But for most of us, if you are on the same road every day, you do start taking chances. You go like, oh, I know what's coming up on this road. I know where the potholes are.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and that kind of bears out the fact that long distance driving actually makes you dumber.
Yeah.
Because it's boring.
Right.
And so truck drivers.
The free state.
Just those guys on the long hauls.
Anywhere in the free state. I know you've got love for the free state, George, but my God, you drive there. It's flat.
It's flat. There's
you can see the road for 3 kilometers ahead. You're just basically going to autopilot.
Yeah.
Someone asked here, George, you know, we always get questions from people. V. Ruiz says, George, where is the best place to service your car? A very general question. We don't know where V. Ruiz lives. We don't know anything, but just generally.
Is that a good question?
I don't know.
Yeah, V. Ruiz.
I think it's a good question. Should we ignore it?
Yeah, 2,000 dealerships in the country. That's very dependent.
What car do you drive? Where are you in the plan?
I can tell you if you're in Ermelo, speak to my friend Phil at DeWitt Motors. He'll help you. But otherwise, I can't help you at all. Sorry.
Yeah. So it's very, very dependent on where you are.
Yeah. Stupid question, V. Ruiz.
Where should I eat food?
Now that's a good comparison, actually. That's exactly right.
You need to be more particular. If you use ChatGPT, it would not be useful to you. You need to refine your answer to something very, very particular. Yeah.
On ChatGPT quickly, is anyone using it daily?
I'm that chat. No, I'm all about the new tech AI. Let's go. How does this affect me? And I will tell you that I'm not as worried as people have been saying on the internet about like how AI is going to take over, because the one thing it really doesn't have is that creative element. All it does is just think. So if you give it a text, I refine this, it's going to give a very boring, mundane answer. Whereas as a person who's very creative, you can be quirky, sarcastic, like there's tonality in how you write. And that's the one thing that I've seen at ChatGPT. But in every other aspect, in terms of just like putting a create a recipe, convert this, convert that, do like scientific stuff. Yeah.
Just a better Google. So when people say, oh, this is going to take over our lives, that's because we got clickbait, shitty media. And all I see nowadays, articles going, I tried this in ChatGPT and the results were scary.
What happened next?
And you get people with these stupid YouTube thumbnails, like someone just put a hot poker up their bottom. And it's just, it's so annoying seeing this kind of stuff.
Actually, it's smarter and not harder. Bad.
George says there's another thing that you can relate to driving an IQ.
Yeah, the car you drive an IQ. People make generalizations about drivers, right?
Interesting.
So there's a study that analyzed the link between your intelligence and the car brand that people drive. So I might offend some people in the studio, but
go ahead.
Or on the chat. So the average IQ of a Skoda driver. Now Skoda is a Czech Republic brand, not in South Africa. Mm-hmm. Turns out to have the people that drive the Skoda have the highest IQs of 99.
Skoda. Who would have guessed? All right. You want a smart life partner. Yes. You want someone to breed with to make clever kids. Skoda.
Otherwise known as the Moldovan Mercedes.
Yes. It looks like a VW Polo, actually.
All right.
So if I run through the list very quickly.
Just want to know who's at the bottom.
Let's go straight to the middle. If you drive a Mercedes Benz, you apparently have an average IQ of 94.74.
Wow.
If you drive a Hyundai, an average IQ of 93.52.
That's even worse.
If you drive an Audi, you have an average IQ of 93.25. If you drive a Volvo, you have an IQ of 92.
Volvo drivers are really stupid.
Well, they're so safety oriented.
Yeah.
If you drive a VW, 92.
Yeah.
Land Rover's at the bottom of the list with an IQ of 88.58.
So IQ is, I mean, listen, a lot of people have thrown IQ out as a measure, but it's actually still one of the best measures for someone's ability in the workplace. You do need to check for IQ. We have never found a better way of measuring people's overall or general intelligence. And you're telling me Land Rover drivers
generally have a low IQ.
Have you seen how many there are on the roads? I'm judging them now.
Because they're sexy, those cars nowadays. 20 years ago, Land Rover drivers are a very different person.
The sample included the Kardashians, perhaps.
Do they drive Land Rovers? Because that's what's brought it down.
A lead weight.
Yeah, that'll pull everything down, including their outfits. All right. That's all we got time for, everybody. George, lovely to have you in the studio. Ben, good to have you here for the first time.
So good to be here.
Most importantly, a big thank you to everybody who's been on the show this morning, including all of our callers. And a big thank you to Famous Mama, who told us about the dead guy in the bed with her.
Yeah. So what we're not going to do this weekend is try die.
No.
And if you are a lawyer, Dead Mama is...
Dead Mama. No, Famous Mama. Famous
Mama, yeah. Might have a need for someone who knows...
Legal representation. Okay. Very good. Carl just wants to know, is there an IQ for Mitsubishi drivers?
Let me have a look.
An average IQ for those.
Mitsubishi. Is it even on the list? Mitsubishi.
You know it's bad if you're not even on the list.
Mitsubishi ain't on the list, Carl. Sorry.
They don't even, they're so stupid they don't even get measured. Huh? All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a happy weekend and don't drive like CliffCentral.com.